Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Just horrifying. Yep. So it's day five, I think, of the Morales versus of the Crumbs versus Ireland war.
Mm-hmm. And we got to play. We got to play in the same golf foursome on Saturday. Could be very interesting.
So here's the thing. So I asked Funch at the break, and you guys don't understand. I want Funch to get the piece of music that goes. Da-da-da-da-da. Do you know that one?
No. Are you talking about the Wayback Machine?
No, I'm talking about like the Old West. It's like the showdown music.
The good, the bad, ugly?
Yes.
All right, Funch, play good, bad, and ugly because I think that's what he's thinking. But
that's what I'm going for.
I don't think he knows what it is.
On Saturday between Travis Rogers from The Morning Show.
Mm-hmm.
And John Ireland for Mason and Ireland. It's happening at Black Gold Golf Club in Yorba Linda. And what time are you guys teeing off?
I think 10:30, like right around then.
10:30.
I think Travis is coming on. We're going to try and get Travis on the show tomorrow.
You can watch every hole on our social media accounts at ESPN Los Angeles. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Thank you to our friends at Coors Light, where right now you can order Coors Light right to your door. Go to get.coorslight.com, and your Coors Light is on its way. That's get.coorslight.com. Now do you see what music I was looking for?
Yeah, you should have just said Old West Showdown music.
Eastwood movie.
Eastwood, yeah. Movie, exactly. Spaghetti Western. All right, so thank you for that music.
So Mace, John Heyman is an insider at the MLB Network.
Right.
Okay. And he was tweeting today that the players.
Yep.
All right, so Heyman wrote, MLB in recent talks gave the players' union two options. One, negotiate a new financial arrangement, something other than the prorated pay for players playing games with no fans, and that's the 50-50 split that the owners threw out there. Or, option two, wait until the coronavirus is clear and fans can attend games. If the players take option two.
If the players take option two, I disavow the game. I am a huge baseball fan. I'm probably the biggest baseball fan at this station. But if the players screw this up, because this isn't just about them. This isn't just about their money. This is about the way baseball led us through 9/11 in many ways. Everybody remembers that night at Yankee Stadium and the flag coming in and President Bush throwing out the first pitch. Everybody remembers that. It helped us heal from 9/11. It can help us heal from this coronavirus crisis. Baseball players need to take one for the team, take one for the nation on this. It's not going to set any sort of precedent. You're not going to get your prorated salaries because there are no fans in the place. You have absolutely got to make a deal.
You know, what surprises me is that they're even considering option two. And apparently they are. But here's why. Okay, so all the baseball teams are owned by billionaires.
Yes.
Do the players not understand that if these games get played, especially with no fans, which is the only way they could get played, the owners are going to lose money.
Correct.
They're not going to make money. They're going to lose money. So what they're offering is to split 50-50 any money that comes in. In other words, like the TV contract money. If the players say, nope, we want to be paid our original salaries and that's the only way we're coming in, the owners will be happy to shut down. They save
money.
Well,
I don't know that they'll be happy to shut down.
But Mace, they save money. Why wouldn't they
save money?
Down?
But it's not just about that. I mean, this is an opportunity for the game. This is an opportunity for the game.
Right, but you see the point I'm trying to make that if the
I do,
owners,
that they will lose, they will not lose money.
And the owners aren't going to go broke. The players
Correct.
Could. The players,
right.
if they don't get paid, the players, you know, they can't play baseball when they're 50. All these owners are over the age of 50 now.
But, I mean, let's be honest, John. I mean, I love baseball. This is a chance for baseball to be the first sport back, to be the only show in town for a period of time. We know the way we hung on every episode of a documentary. Can you imagine what it's going to be if baseball comes back by the 4th of July and is the only sport out there that's happening right now? This is for the good of the game, for the good of the sport, and for the good of the nation. It's going to give us a sense of normalcy back. It has not been a normal spring. Normally, we get to April. I'm so excited. It's baseball season. The season turns. The days are longer. The games are on. Even if I'm not watching, they're on in the background. We know how baseball works. It's like my aquarium. Baseball is always on. This is an opportunity for baseball. If players screw this up, they are just flat out stupid.
Yeah, and I don't understand what the win is for the players sitting out. Like they say, nope, it's not worth our health. We're not risking it. We don't think we're getting paid enough money. We're sitting out. Okay, are you sure fans are coming back in 2021? I mean, we think they are.
Here's a tweet: Biert, B-I-E-R-T, an unusual name, tweets: "You're pretty selfish, Venice Mace. Baseball players don't owe us fans anything." Of course they do.
Well, wait a minute. Even if they don't, don't they owe it to themselves?
It's a question of, do you want to make zero money or do you want to make a 50-50 revenue split?
And your career has a shelf life.
Do you want there to be a baseball season or do you want the season to be completely canceled? Because this coronavirus thing is not going to be gone completely by the fall. Fans aren't necessarily going to be allowed into stadiums in the fall. You're basically scrapping a 2020 season altogether. So do you want to make something and do something for the country to help get us through this, or do you want to make nothing and come off as the most selfish jerks in America?
Let's take some calls on this. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. 710-3776. Is there something we're not seeing here? Because it seems to me that the players would be crazy not to play at all. Because if they don't play at all, they get nothing. Zero. And the owners, who are all loaded, they're all billionaires, just wait. And they'll find people who want to play when they reopen.
But you know what? It's more than just the money. It's about being selfless right now in this moment. There are so many people that have sacrificed in a real way. People who have worked on the front lines of this COVID-19 crisis, people that have doctors and nurses and first responders and grocery store clerks and delivery guys for Grubhub and Postmates and all that stuff and Amazon and showing up at our doors like Instacart. There's so many people that have done all that stuff in a selfless, I mean, I won't say selfless because they're getting paid, but in a dangerous way, have taken on risk by doing that. Players have an opportunity here to say, you know what? We're going to do something too. We're going to get back on the field. We're going to be the first sport to get back on the field and help to establish a sense of normalcy. And yes, we're going to do it for a little bit less than we normally would. But that's just for this year. Next year, we go back to the normal system and the collective bargaining agreement. But for this one year, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it like this, and we're going to be selfless about it.
Isn't it a horrible look for baseball?
Horrible.
If the basketball players come back, the hockey players come back, college and pro football start, and they don't start up until next year because they couldn't figure out the money? And I would say that's a pox on both the owners and the players.
No question.
That it just seems to me that you get smart people in a room and you figure this out. That even the suggestion that you wouldn't play because you won't accept a modified salary structure for one season of a pandemic that no one saw coming makes no sense. It just
I guess it's greed. I mean, it's the same way the season got canceled in 1994 and there was no World Series. The winner of that World Series was greed. Is greed going to prevent us from seeing America's pastime at a time when we really need it.
And boy, how about just selfishly? We have Mookie Betts for 1 year.
I know.
1 year. And his contract expires whether they play the games or not. So we never get to see Mookie Betts play for the Dodgers.
And by the way, especially when, and we've got Evan Drellich from The Athletic coming up at the bottom of the hour, who's written a great piece about the safety guidelines that baseball is using. Rob Manfred and the baseball owners have done everything right. They've come up with a 67-page manual that they can present to states, to cities, to counties to say, look, this is how we are going to keep this as safe as humanly possible. Will all risk be eliminated? No. But look at these extraordinary steps we're willing to take. And they're steps that have led the governor of New York, Cuomo, the governor of California, Newsom, the governor of Texas, Abbott, to all say yesterday, professional sports can come back as soon as the beginning of June. Spring training is in this world where the baseball players are not greedy, where they're a little bit more selfless. We could have spring training by the second week of June, and we could have baseball by the 4th of July, and they could be the first sport back and helping us to establish a sense of normalcy, a sense of rhythm to life. I will be just furious, and as a huge baseball fan, I will be absolutely furious if this doesn't work because players are unwilling to reach a deal.
And if you really are one of those players who doesn't want to do it for health reasons, then just sit out. But, Lindsay, you said something before the show that I thought was interesting. You said you think there'd be enough players that these teams would all field a team, right? That if even, like, let's say 10 stars decided, nope, we're not coming in. I think, you know, Mace, think about all the minor leaguers that are completely out of a job. So, Lindsay, you think that enough players would come in?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like you said with the minor leaguers, I feel like there's a large enough group, and I could be totally wrong, but I feel like there's a large enough group of players that don't have, you know, tens of millions of dollars, that are making minimum salary or are still on their first contract, that kind of need this money and would rather play than just sit out for the season.
Here's Nate from Irvine on line three. Hey, Nate, you're on ESPN 710. Hi.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, Nate.
I think you guys have to consider, and part of what John Heyman said in his tweet today was that there was no formal proposal made yet. And I think it's important to note that without being a formal proposal, I think the owners are kind of putting the PR look on the players and taking some of the potential blame off of them. And I just don't think that looks good from a working together standpoint between the owners and the players. I agree that they should be, you know, we want baseball back, of course, but I think you have to consider that as well.
You know, so you're saying it's really hard to get around 50-50, right? Once you suggest 50-50, it suggests fairness. Now, I'm getting a lot of tweets, by the way, that say the opposite. Never feel sorry for billionaires. Owners should honor the contracts of players. The owners are not losing money, even without fans. I kind of feel you guys about Major League Baseball, but you got 30 billionaires lose and 700 millionaires losing. You know, I get that other vibe. It's really hard to get around 50-50, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I definitely think so. I definitely think 50-50 is a hard one to pass up because, you know, in principle it seems fair. But you know how some of these billionaires may operate, and I think the players know that too. And I know you guys have been saying on the show a lot that you don't want to set any precedents for years forward, but how do you know that's not on the table?
You know, yeah, I think you got to put it in writing. I think you got to say up front, nothing we agree to this year can be mentioned in future negotiations, and just, you know, go with that. But they've got to get two smart people in a room, Nate, one representing each side, and I think reasonable people can cut a deal here. And for anybody to take a hardline stance that you give me what I want or I'm out is a death knell. They can't. Thank you for the call, by the way.
Thanks, man.
Hey, let's go to Larry from Temecula on line six. Hey, Larry, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Larry.
So I have two comments. The first one, you had you read a tweet a little while ago. Some guy tweeted something to the effect, the players don't owe the fans anything. Well, you know, here's the deal. If you go back 15, 20, 25 years ago and you start looking at the escalation of salaries over the years and these guys are making astronomical amounts of money, well, no fans, no game. No game, no money. So, in the truest and the clearest sense, do they owe us anything? Probably not. But, you know, just look around. You guys wouldn't be living in mansions if it wasn't for the fans. That's comment number one. Comment number two, Blake Snell, that guy can kiss my rear end, okay? He's concerned about it. Go look at basketball players. Go look at football players. Now, those guys are at risk. But when you're standing out on the mound 60 feet from nobody,
interesting,
and the closest you're going to get to anybody is maybe covering first base on a bunt. Okay, you know, Blake Snell, don't play.
By the way, Larry, thank you for the phone call. Mace, he made an excellent point. Isn't the pitcher, by definition, the most socially distanced guy on the field?
Well, I guess the only way he's not is the baseball, right?
Right.
Umpire, catcher, baseball.
Yeah.
But I don't want to. I think Snell's mistake was talking about money at all. You just don't talk about money. It's impolite. And you can't win that argument. But I mean, there's no matter what, there's going to be risk. Everybody's dealing with a level of risk. Baseball seems to have buttoned this up really quickly. And they've been really serious and diligent about this. And we'll talk to Evan Drellich about it at the bottom of the hour at 4:30. Sorry, I didn't mean to say bottom of the hour. We've banned bottom of the hour from the conversation. So at 4:30. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be risk no matter what. But talking about the money is just stupid on Snell's part. And by the way, when I hear the name Snell, I will immediately think of those comments. I mean, those comments have defined him in my head.
Yeah.
All right, more coming up, 877-710-ESPN. Evan Drellich at 4:30 today, and then 5 o'clock Fast Track. Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN. All right, Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN. 5 o'clock Fast Track is coming up for you. And Evan Drellich is coming up at 4:30 from The Athletic. He's got the book, literally the book, the 67-page book of baseball regulations that they would use if players come to their senses and make a deal to return to play in July, which is what we're talking about right now.
And I think that there's no way for the players to win this PR-wise.
Mm-mm.
Can you think of one? Is
nope.
there a card they could play that would swing public perception to their side?
John, I am the biggest baseball fan here, and I will be just not only devastated but embarrassed for the game if they don't come to terms on some kind of agreement. And I guess, you know, I guess it's fair to say that the owners should also give.
Sure. That's what I mean. Get two smart guys in there.
Is it a 60-40 split?
Well, the owner's going to lose money no matter what the split is because there's no fans. Fans are 30% of the owner's revenue. So, and all the player contracts were based on that. And that's why the owners want to alter the contracts. Let's go to Charlie from Fullerton. Hey, Charlie, you're on ESPN LA 710. How are you?
Self, guys.
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, man.
Hey, good, good. Just wanted to kind of add on to the one of the callers that just said that the players don't owe us anything. They really don't. But at the same time, they kind of do. You know, he basically took the words out of my mouth.
What do you feel like the players owe you?
Honestly, at least for them to play, man. Everybody's been saying they're going to be separated as it is. You know, they're only going to be together when they're in the dugout, you know, sitting side by side. But even then, they can social distance. But at least bringing back the game, like May said earlier, this is the biggest opportunity the MLB is going to get. They're going to be on TV, the only sport to possibly be on for at least some time, and everybody's going to be watching. A lot of money's going to be coming in, and if they do that 50-50 split, it's going to benefit at least to some degree both sides.
Yeah, thanks very much for the phone call. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about this also in a practical way, John. In a practical way. We always say baseball gets lost in the fall It gets lost in July maybe because of NBA free agency. Gets lost in the fall as there's football season, NFL and college football. This is, right now, it would be lost because of the NBA playoffs to some degree. They have to share the stage with some other sport, some other event. This would be a chance for baseball and baseball players and guys who care about their brand and marketing themselves to literally be the only show in town, to literally be the story every day. Is did you see what the Dodgers just did? Did you see what Mookie Betts did? Did you see the game that that Clayton Kershaw just threw? Or Kenley nailed down that save, even though the bases were loaded with one away, struck out the last two. I mean, all that stuff, it's a chance for baseball to be on the front page collectively in our heads absolutely everywhere. Baseball players and baseball owners have to look at it as an opportunity to market the sport.
But again, you know, players, especially baseball players, have always not trusted the owners, and they have a strong union, and that's normally the way they play it. So it'll be interesting to see if they change their position now. But and we're going to have Scott Boras on the show tomorrow, and we can talk to him about it. I know Scott wants to play. But let's see. You know,
but Scott's a player's agent, too.
Right. So it'll be interesting, very interesting to see what he says. Let's get Ken from Newport Beach in here. Hey, Ken, you're on 710
Hi,
ESPN.
Guys.
Hi. How are you, Ken?
Well, good. Long time no talk. I got 2 points. Number one, 95% of the people, I'm guessing, don't actually go to games, but they watch them. For me, it's been an integral part of my life for 40 years, and I really miss it. Second thing is, one of the companies I have, we make hand sanitizers in 4 different states. And we do so not to gouge customers, but we actually lowered our price so we can help out the people out there and make a little money. Maybe the players need to listen to what I'm saying and say, yeah, we need to make a little bit more money, but we're ruining the game if we don't go out there and play, fans or no fans.
Thanks for the call, Ken. I think he makes a couple of interesting points there. And the one that jumped out at me, Steve, is he's right. 90 to 95% of baseball fans never go into the park.
Sure, absolutely.
They want to watch games at home. And as he put it, it's been a part of his life for 40 years.
And by the way, John, on top of everything else, this is the first time in 7 years that people will actually be able to see the games, people who have DirecTV. Finally, the Sportsnet LA is going to be on DirecTV. So for the first time, a big chunk of the city is going to get a chance to watch Dodger games where they haven't been for the last 7 years.
Hey, on a related subject, we just got a really interesting tweet from PC.
Yep.
I don't hear anyone mentioning this, but when games come back, wouldn't this be the perfect opportunity for electronic umpires?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I don't think they're going to do it, but I think we're eventually going to get to the electronic umpires. It seems to me that, actually, if you think about it, if you wanted to reduce risk and not have an umpire behind home plate, I guess there has to be an umpire even if there's a Yeah, there has to be an umpire, even if there's electronic umpire.
Or does there? Think about it. There would be, I mean, you would, it, again, it'd be a radical change.
Who announces whether it's a ball or a strike?
Scoreboard, PA announcer.
Who announces if it's a foul tip?
I mean, they could have an algorithm so it announces that to everyone, you know? It's a robot.
Right. Right. It would just be, you know, the you could... I mean, you tell me, but you watch more baseball than I do. They throw a pitch. It's outside. It's called a ball. It immediately goes up on the scoreboard and onto your TV screen that it's ball one. Wouldn't, if you put it up on the scoreboard and up on the TV screen at the exact moment, isn't that sufficient? Bang, bang, play at the plate. It goes right up on the scoreboard and right up on the TV screen. He's safe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
different.
There's no reason why you couldn't.
It'd be different, be a little weird. It would take
some of the stuff, John, like in this, we'll talk to Evan Drolich about this in a minute, but, you know, one of the things that they've suggested is what they're going to do is there's not going to be a lineup card exchange at home plate anymore during this crisis because there's no reason to do it. And it's just going to be done electronically. Honestly, it should always be done electronically. It's not 1936 anymore. It's fine to enter it into a computer, and everybody gets to see the lineups without handing over the lineups at home plate. You know, that's one thing that may stick. We may wind up never having that moment again. And honestly, I can live without it. All right, coming up next for you, Evan Drolich will join us from The Athletic. He's the guy that has really analyzed and gone through that 67-page manual for safety precautions against COVID-19 that baseball would, in fact, use. We'll get into that coming up next for you. 5 o'clock Fast Track coming up, too. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hi, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. In 30 minutes, we've got Fast Track coming up for you, 5 o'clock Fast Track. Baseball, we've been talking about sort of the financial arrangements that will need to take place in order for baseball to come back, maybe as soon as the 4th of July. But there is a very, very complex manual that has been created that will satisfy governors and counties and mayors and medical officials to help keep safety as part of the game and to reduce the risk during this COVID-19 crisis. Joining us right now is Evan Drolich from The Athletic, who has written extensively about this. Hey, Evan, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Evan, thank you for doing this. And by the way, your work, not just on this, but all the stuff you've been writing on The Athletic has been fantastic. I mean, if you want to follow this, everything that's happening with this baseball story, I strongly suggest you follow Evan. So let's talk about this, this medical proposal that you've had a chance to read. Of all the things on it, Evan, in your opinion, what are the players going to have the biggest problem with or the biggest, or the hardest time adjusting to?
Well, you can single out a lot. The players, or at least the player representative to the union, had a call yesterday with the union about their different feelings on it. So at some point here, we expect that the union's going to respond to MLB and give them essentially the player's side of it. But you're looking at an attempt to change their behavior in so many ways. It would be hard for anybody, you know, baseball player or not, to break the routine that's become so ingrained in you for whatever amount of time you've been doing that professionally, you know, 10 years for some of these guys, even longer. The seating would have to be not in the dugout entirely, but some of it would be above. Even showing guys in the bullpen grips on a ball, you'd have to have your own ball. It's all stuff that it can be grounded in logic. I'm not suggesting none of it is worthwhile, but it is a bear for these guys to deal with.
Some of the stuff isn't going to fly, right? I mean, I think some of the stuff just isn't going to fly. Like, I would imagine the one of the more difficult things that's in there is that players would show up to the ballpark in their full uniform and then not take a shower after BP and after the game. I would imagine that's probably not going to fly. What do you think?
Yeah, that one's hard to imagine. But you're telling people who are used to being fresh and clean when they leave a baseball stadium that they can't be. I imagine there's going to be a bunch of those. You know, I wish I could list out for you the specifics right now that the union is going to bring back to the league and say, hey, this, and this will not work. No, you need to let our guys spit their sunflower seeds. Whatever the fight is going to end up being, or maybe not. Maybe it's not a fight. Maybe this actually unfolds as kind of a productive, collaborative discussion. But that's underway. You know, it was only Friday when the union got that draft from the league. And so now the next step is they have to give them their thoughts.
We're talking to Evan Drolich from The Athletic. He has read the proposed safety manual that Major League Baseball has presented to the players. Now, again, this is proposed. They are negotiating, and that is what Evan's talking about, how some of these things will be compromised and some of these things will be hard and fast rules. Evan, the conversation today in, you know, on social media has been maybe the players don't accept any type of a financial proposal that the owners have put out there so far. I've always been of the opinion that sooner or later, cooler heads are going to prevail, and they're going to get this all worked out, and they're going to give this a shot. Am I being Pollyanna or naive, or is this financial battle a real fight that may keep baseball from happening at all?
I'm with you. I tend to still have the view that there's no way this could actually stop baseball from returning, that if something is going to stop baseball from returning in 2020, it's going to be the pandemic, to the point that usually when people ask me, do you think the sport's coming back? I say the question, the better question is not whether it's going to come back, it's whether it's going to stay. It's whether once they get on the field, is everybody going to remain healthy? Are all those markets going to be playable? Can they actually get through a postseason? But right now, on the money talks and the economics, it's ugly. They're both dug in. They're talking past each other. There was an agreement in March. In that March agreement, player compensation was outlined. And it also was outlined was the power for the owners to decide whether or not to play. So there's nothing in the agreement that says players have to take less money, and there's nothing in the agreement that says the owners have to start the season. So they're just talking past each other. And at some point, there needs to be some progress. The union has requested financial documents. The league has not responded yet. The expectation is they'll get some of the documents. There might be a bounce back to the union that says, you got to narrow this request. It's too much.
So it's probably going to be something, and the deal gets done if it's more than 50-50, but less than the prorated salaries that players would normally get?
Revenue sharing, you know, you can always, at the end of it, put some sort of percentage on what players get, right? Like, you could calculate right now what share players got last year. In fact, the league did that the other day when it sent a whole financial presentation over to the union. But the players are not going to go for revenue sharing. That seems pretty clear, and the league might just back off of it. They wanted to propose it. They might just go to a system that says, or try to go to a system where the players take some sort of percentage cut off of the prorated salary. So if you were to make, you know, $3 million in a 82-game season, take a 20% pay cut. That's probably what they'll end up trying to propose. But to this point, the players aren't signaling a willingness to do that. They're saying, you need to prove that you actually need us to take that pay cut. They want to see the underlying documents and the underlying numbers for what the owners are claiming.
We're talking to Evan Drellich from The Athletic. Evan, if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, are the Yankees going to be able to play in Yankee Stadium? Are the Dodgers going to play in Dodger Stadium? The governors seemed pretty dug in. The pandemic was numbers were not good. I would have said one of them's going to Florida, the other one's going to Arizona. Lately, that conversation has turned. What's your best guess as to whether or not most of these teams, including teams like the Yankees and Dodgers, are going to be able to play in their own parks?
There's a lot of political pressure involved with something like this. You know, the team officials, league officials are in touch with governors, with, you know, mayors, whatever you name it. So my inclination is that as these cities open up for other businesses, there's going to be high pressure on them to allow the sport to play, at least without fans. With fans, that's a whole other discussion. I think that's more complicated. But I would be skeptical that many municipalities say, no, you can't even play in here without letting fans into the ballpark. It's really the fan question.
Oh, so you think, in other words, they would play at Dodger Stadium, they would play at Yankee Stadium, but there just
I can't, you know, I haven't followed enough of the California situation to say to you, I think they're
okay.
Going to let them. Maybe California ends up being the one where they say you can't do it in any capacity with or without fans. I think in most markets, the distinction is going to be fans or no fans. Governor Cuomo in New York signals that they're okay for teams to return to play. The risk to the public, it would seem to be significantly lessened if you're not letting fans in. So it's really the question of, for most markets, not LA necessarily, but for most markets, of whether or not you can have spectators.
You know, Evan, one of the things that I've was just pitching is this idea that this is an unbelievable opportunity for baseball. In the same way baseball led us out of World War II, led us out of 9/11, it has a chance to be, you know, a real healing force, a return to normalcy, and to be the first sport back. We just hung on every episode of The Last Dance. People are hungry for a story. They're hungry for something. To be the first sport back is an unbelievable marketing opportunity and an opportunity to showcase the game. What do you think?
I think most people are cognizant of that, and it's certainly a thought that's bandied around in the industry, agents, people who just want the game to come back on the field. They have a little bit of time to play with it, as silly as it sounds. They want to have a regular season in July, spring training in June. They can probably drag this economics discussion out, at least for the rest of the month, into June, but they don't have an unlimited amount of time. The only flip side I would point to with that, not to be bleak, but for as much as it would be great to have the sport back for people to have a sense of normalcy, you could even argue it would demonstrate social distancing and as an example for how people can return to something of their normal lives, there is a downside where if somebody gets sick and God forbid dies in the baseball family, you know, whether it's support staff, coach, umpire, player, for all the morale boost and all the marketing boost that would exist if the season goes well, there is a downside to consider. That doesn't mean they shouldn't do it, but when you talk about that upside, you do have to consider the downside too.
All right, Evan, last thing for me. What's your sense of timing on this? You know, we've heard spring training could come as early as June, maybe baseball by the 4th of July. Are you buying that schedule, or do you think all the things we've been talking about for the last 10 minutes probably push this into late July or August?
At this point, there's no reason to think they can't pull off that schedule, but it is a lot of logistics. It's not like they have to work out an entire collective bargaining agreement. The pay is really the central issue in it, and then everything else can fall into place. I think they could still do June and July. What is not clear is what the immediate next step is. It's not clear what's the next communication between the league and the union. When does the league make its economic proposal, if that's indeed the first step? When does the union get the health protocols back to the league? So it's unclear in the near future, but the long-term future of it hasn't been clouded yet.
All right. Hey, Evan, thank you very much. I just retweeted the article that you and Ken Rosenthal did today about the economics proposal and what's going on with player pay in baseball. It's a great piece, and everybody should take a look at that. Evan, thanks very much for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Evan Drellich from The Athletic. So he seems... He says it may be posturing, they may be doing a dance, maybe it gets worked out, they've got till the end of June to work it out, maybe players get their prorated salary but with a percentage cut as opposed to a 50-50 rev share. My takeaway there is that they are still going to work it out despite all the posturing right now.
I agree with you, and I think if they don't, it's going to be incredibly embarrassing. And by the way, no matter what side is at fault for it, they're both going to get blamed for it if they can't figure this out. They're both going to get hammered PR-wise, hammered.
All right, so we talked about Major League Baseball. Coming up next for you, LeBron, who did an appearance last night on his website, The Uninterrupted, talked about where things stand with the NBA season, and could he have actually become a member of the Dallas Cowboys? Both those things coming up for you, along with some controversy with Lindsay that we just got on hashtag Ask Mason and Ireland. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. I was just saying, I don't think in all my years in Los Angeles, which is 26, 28, I ever interviewed Magic Johnson, and John has pointed out that I'm totally and completely wrong.
Yeah, and Funch just found... Funch,
no!
Do you have it handy?
I need, like, another minute.
Okay, when you get it, let me know. Funch actually found... He just Googled Magic Johnson on Mason and Ireland, and it came right up. You don't know what you did 2 weeks ago. You're smoking so much weed that your brain cells have basically evaporated.
Yeah, it's past 4:20. I mean, I'm 24 minutes into this thing.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
All right, so LeBron James was on his own website last night. The Uninterrupted. He talked about where things stand right now with this NBA season. And you know, we're getting much closer. I mean, those announcements yesterday from Governor Abbott in Texas, Governor Newsom here in California, Governor Cuomo in New York, all sort of clearing the way for somewhere around first week of June, being able to allow professional sports to take place again. Right now, the Lakers training facility is open on a limited basis. That was cleared by the county. Same thing goes for the Clippers facility, by the way. That was cleared by the county, and they opened on a limited basis yesterday. But no formal timetable. But, you know, players have been pretty definitive about this. I mean, it's going to happen, I think. Don't you?
Yeah, and here's the difference between basketball players and baseball players. LeBron does not need the money. He just doesn't. He's like a billionaire. And the only thing he's talking about is coming back and playing. And baseball players like Blake Snell are talking about, I'm not coming back unless I get my full salary. LeBron could retire and be set for life now, and he wants to play. So that's why Blake Snell should never talk about money.
Well, the other thing, though, is, and well, I guess we don't know the financial terms of the NBA coming back. I just assume that they're going to get their full prorated salary. Or are they getting their salaries no matter what?
No, they've already, when May 15th rolled around, they stopped getting paid. They stopped getting paid their full salary. I don't know, they May 15th, the NBA had no obligation to pay. They could invoke force majeure and do it that way. So I don't know if they would have an opportunity to remake all of their salary. I think they would. But if they miss a percentage of games, I think the NBA is allowed to take a percentage of their salary.
Because if they go straight to, let's say they go straight to the playoffs, which who'd we talk to yesterday said they thought that was the way it was going to be.
Ramona. Yeah.
They go straight to the playoffs, so that's about 50 games. Do they only get paid for 50 games, or do they get their whole season salary? And what if you're not in the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but I think they do get paid a certain amount, regardless of how many games played. But after May 15th, everything changed.
Right. All right. So this is sort of an interesting question.
Okay,
LeBron last night.
Okay, before you get to that,
yes.
You have steadfastly maintained for, I don't know, a good 3 years that
yes.
You have been aggrieved that you have never, ever had a chance to interview Magic Johnson in your entire career, that for whatever reason, Magic Johnson will not come on the air with you. This is about 20 seconds. Funch, hit it.
Magic, this is one of the deepest NBA drafts in years. A lot of talent there. You've got a top three protected pick. What's your philosophy on making sure that you keep that pick?
Well, you know, first of all, it's nothing that we can just do. I mean, I can just say, oh, this is going to happen. What we're trying to do is develop our young players.
Yeah. That's clever editing is what that is.
No, and by the way, that was Magic on the phone, which means you've interviewed him at least twice.
Right.
Because when you and I interviewed him, when I was wearing the ascot, because I lost that bet to you,
yeah.
He was standing next to us with a headset on. So not only have you interviewed him, you've interviewed him at least twice. As far as we know, you've interviewed him five times. You just don't remember anything.
Yeah, I just don't. I have no recollection of it, but but yeah, apparently I'm wrong, and this is like Michael Jordan and Horace Grant.
It's your truth.
It's my truth.
Your truth has just been disproved.
Yeah, my truth.
Your truth is false.
My truth isn't right. That's the problem. By the way, this question came in: was Lindsay secretly suspended for one show for gambling? That came in from Ahmed Youssef. on hashtag Ask Mason in Ireland. Lindsay was not here yesterday.
Right.
We tried
kind
to keep that quiet.
Kind of an odd question during a pandemic when casinos are closed.
Yeah, I will answer the question this way. I'm not saying that that's what happened. I'm just not saying that it's not.
Exactly.
Okay. That's my
official statement on the matter. Will not confirm nor deny.
But there is nothing in Lindsay's employment agreement that would prohibit her from gambling.
That's actually true. All we do is gamble mythical money. It wouldn't surprise me if somebody was gambling real money.
And if Lindsay wanted to take her real money and give it all to a bookie, that is completely up to her. Mason and I would make no attempt to stop it. Or to encourage or discourage it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
No, if you want to give money to Vegas or Curacao or Atlantic City or wherever
win,
the hell you want to give
win.
It, go ahead.
Maybe she'd win.
Yeah,
are
maybe.
Are any of those places open right now?
Yeah, offshore booking's got to be.
Offshore,
I don't know what the heck you would bet on. But,
I do miss, like, the casual, you know, not that I was a big gambler. I do miss the kind of, like, looking up things. Well, I guess we haven't had like the Super Bowls passed it, so we didn't have to deal with that. But little things that you do, but like prop bets and stuff like that,
yeah.
Or UFC fights, I miss like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, we've done some of that stuff. We bet on how many names Slee was going to get in the birthday game.
That's right.
That's our main source of betting.
Definitely
now.
Filled my void for the casino slot machines.
All right. Coming up next for you is 5 o'clock Fast Track, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.